Welcome to the Doghouse. Tonight, we're going to discuss when AI and MotoGP come together.
And okay, I got a couple little quick things we might want to log in.
Okay, yeah,
before that.
That's fine.
That's really intriguing to me because in the last year, I said sooner or later, AI is coming to racing in all forms.
It is, and it's coming to all areas of our lives, every area of our lives.
Yeah, that's nothing. What I mean. Like it's going to be in everything.
Everything.
So now it's coming there.
HAL is here. HAL 9000 is here.
I don't know if it's there because I think HAL had independent thoughts. AI, it doesn't have independent.
It's getting there, Phil. It's getting there.
I don't know.
AI already hallucinates.
It still goes by the parameters a human sets it.
Yes, that is true, but it can go beyond those parameters. But that's another discussion. Maybe it's a discussion for another show.
We should do like a special show just on AI
because it's pretty freaky stuff. It's not like,
I know you love that kind of stuff.
I do. I geek out on that, and that's what I do on my
geek out over it.
Yeah. So it's well, I can understand. I can understand why a lot of people either love or hate it. I love from a technology standpoint from a Terminator standpoint, not so much, but it is it's just amazing how far we've come since the original Terminator when that thing was like,
I can't believe I'm going to say this, and there's going to be a recording of me saying this on the internet forever. I hate people who skimp on work. Like, I look at AI as people taking shortcuts to not do the research. I'm going to give you an example. If he was I would still throw him under the bus. But Warren, when he pulls up race stuff and everything, just reads what AI says and doesn't check it. And AI is not always right.
Well, right? AI is not always right, but AI also has another thing. If you use that as your source of news, you're going to miss a lot of opposing viewpoints, right?
Exactly. That's why I hate it. So to me, it's like taking a shortcut. I believe in putting the footwork in.
I don't disagree with. I don't disagree with that point of view. But that's today. That it's just it gets better literally week by week.
All right, let's talk about the other topics.
Yes,
we'll get into that a little bit.
Okay. All right.
When we get into things, so you know, yesterday was my birthday. I made people sing to me because I'm that guy, right?
How old are you now, Phil?
We're not 29.
Yeah. What are you? 53.
53.
53.
Who would have thought when I met you, I was going to make it through a year, right?
I didn't.
Like, I almost died within 6 months of meeting Ken. I was out. I lost it 3 times on a table in Sibley Hospital.
Yeah.
In D.C.
Yeah,
been 6 months of meeting Ken.
I mean, on a regular basis, I said, well, I ain't going to see him again.
But for a while, nobody did.
Yeah, nobody did for a long
like,
while.
I was like, gone.
Yeah.
Surgery was a bitch. But, you know, I'm like a cockroach, hard to kill.
That is true.
Anyways, yesterday, news started breaking out about $40 million worth of MotoGP and other race bikes at a drug cartel's guy's place in Mexico. Right? Like a drug lord's house in Mexico. Sound like El Chapo, right? I mean,
yeah.
All I remember is El Chapo in the tunnel and he's running. That is, you want to clickbait a Phil and get in there. That's the kind of title you put in. So I started reading it. It was on like USA Today. It was on a couple other places. And I kind of searched it. But right now I'm looking at an article from Road Racing World because I always liked it. Right before the show, I was like, let me read, see if they put anything up in their perspective and stuff. So they're talking about the guy being a former Olympic athlete. And I'm like, oh, and then they're talking about him being a slalom skier. And this was all in the news yesterday. It's a Canadian dude, Ryan Wedding. He was a parallel slalom Olympian for Canada.
Parallel slalom.
I never heard of the guy.
I never heard of parallel slalom. I've heard of slalom.
That's
but
where they like go down, you know, between the poles together.
They call that parallel
It used to be
slalom?
Part of the videos for the thrill of victory and agony of defeat in the Olympic things,
know,
when they were doing, and the guy crashes. That was slalom. So I'm sure parallel slalom is just two guys going at once.
Okay.
But he's like a Canadian dude, which I just thought was funny that he has a, he's running like they think he's like a drug cartel, running a drug cartel in Mexico. That doesn't stand out.
When you mentioned GP race bikes in it, though, it almost makes some sense.
It kind of does, right?
Yeah.
But look, I'm looking at a picture of him. You want to go to roadracingworld.com and just look up, I believe the article is entitled MotoGP Race Bikes Among Drug Lords Confiscated Motorcycles. Right? I'm looking. There's at least in clear sight, there's three Rossi bikes, Dovizioso bike. I think they're championship year bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Casey Stoner, a little hard to tell. Looks like a Pecco Bagnaia. Looks like an Andre Anianone, Crazy Joe.
Crazy Joe.
Jorge Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Right? And then back, it's a little harder to see the numbers because the picture goes so deep. But it looks like he may have race bikes back into the 90s, maybe the 80s. There's a bunch of them.
So what that tells me is when you have an unlimited supply of money, what would you do with it? This guy was a GP fan and said, I'm going to collect championship bikes.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to buy
them.
I
was worried when I saw the title. Like I was not thinking like, oh my God, he collected championship bikes. I thought it was like another, I can't remember the name of the team that got busted for moving the Coke all around.
Yeah, the one that Heron
rode for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh no, what team's losing? But, I mean, it's a pretty impressive collection.
Well, you mentioned a number of Ducatis. So that right off the bat, I would say a Ducati, Italian team.
There's Jorge Lorenzo.
I've always thought that, you know, the mafia and drugs that kind of go hand in hand.
I'm going to say one of the Rossi bikes might have been his 2002 championship season. It kind of
Can you imagine what that bike's worth?
Yeah, right. That's when he rode that like blue bike with the yellow stripe and he didn't have the green numbers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's sitting like front and left.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, that's a pretty good collection.
Maybe that's like his prize bike that he paid like $8 million for.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty stout collection.
Sounds like it from what you said.
There's advantages to being a drug dealer.
There are definite advantages to it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
There is one motocross bike in there that I see, but it's not saying there's not more back there.
Yeah. No, I mean, from a financial standpoint, probably buying a championship motocross bike is within the reach of many more people than a GP championship bike.
Maybe.
Right? Oh, I would think so.
Maybe. I don't know if I could.
I didn't say us. I said in reach of more people. It would have to be Dollar Tree for us.
Yeah. So anyway,
that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
That's good. And not only that, it's probably the first and only time Road Racing World will ever mention drug cartels in a story.
Yeah, probably. Right?
Yeah, so they were probably psyched.
They're probably like, yeah, this is like real news.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Anyways. And then my other thing, my thought for discussion, your AI sounds way better than my idea, was the change that they're making to the Superbike weekend race format. Have you read about that?
I did read about that. They're trying to become closer to the way that it's being done in GP. Superbikes is trying to be more like it is there. So
they're going to run Superbike less so people stay at the track.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
You
think that's for the track or you think that's more for the television coverage?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I thought, like, when I think it's actually more for the track.
Okay.
Right. I was reading an article on GP1, right? Because I believe they're European, right? Yeah, because it always wants to travel.
GP1 is the source for my next story too. I get them all the time.
So, because our viewing habits of motorcycle racing in Europe are completely different.
Yes.
So they were making the argument that it was to keep people at the track, and that's what Dorna was saying, because the 2 o'clock race time for Superbike works well. People take a long lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the lunch hour, where 3 o'clock, it's adding, or 3:30 start time, it's going to add an hour and a half. You know, like, it's going to waste more of the day. It's going to force them to be in front. And they were talking about it's to keep people in the stadium. But, you know, here's the deal is, I've been to every kind of sporting event you can ever watch, right? If a team's doing crappy, no one shows up in the stands till the second quarter.
That's
right. They stand outside and drink. No one's going to show up to the race early to watch races they don't want to see unless there's – you have to have something else to draw them there early.
To draw them there early. But to get them to stay late, you don't care. They've already paid their admission fee.
Right.
Who cares if they leave at 2 in the afternoon?
And they're not getting a cut of – they're not getting a cut of the food or the drink.
No, absolutely not.
Right? So, right, yep. Who cares? And that's kind of – I don't understand the I understand because in some ways – I like the concept of having the big race last, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the philosophy that your premier class race should finish the day off. But even in GP, sometimes Moto 2 actually finishes off a day last.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would just be suspect that they're saying we're doing this for the benefit of the fans, but I don't believe they ever do anything for the benefit of the fans. I'm sorry, just the way I am. It's my kind of negative view of the world. I think everything they do is having to do with money for them.
The only thing I can think of is TV wants them on another hour.
Yep. That's what
I don't know. Why would – I guess. I don't know. I was trying to think of why would TV care? Unless they think people will watch the pre-races and not turn it off right away.
That's a possibility. I mean, there's a couple different possibilities for why they would, but I still think the stimulus was for the television coverage.
Yeah.
I got to believe that because I don't see any value other than it makes sense to have it the final race of the day, but it's always made. That was always true.
The tracks are bitching.
The tracks would only be bitching because the vendors could lose out. Once they collect the admission fee, the track's done.
I've had more than one racetrack owner tell me, I have an overpriced restaurant that sells hot dogs and beer, and my entertainment during the meal is racing. Yeah. Right? So they're like,
I get that. They get a cut of the vending. And to some small extent, that makes sense. Would you change up your weekend? Over that, I don't see it because, again,
I would if the track
you're paying big money. Yeah, but you're paying big money to get either a World Superbike or a MotoGP race.
Yeah, but maybe at your track, saying it's $5,000. It's $5 million less is what it's worth because we're losing this much.
Yeah, well, who knows?
And you know,
this is one of those things where you can say we can speculate all we want. We'll never know the truth. They're never going to admit it.
Into the AI because now I'm kind of intrigued.
So this one wasn't, I didn't even see this coming at all. So I subscribe to GP1 because I find a lot of really good stuff and interesting stuff.
I like GP1.
That's, you know, on there. And I came across this story that I thought, wow. First of all, they ruined the story by giving you the outcome in the beginning. So GP1, don't do that, because I wanted to read the story to get to the result. And I'm not going to do that by giving the result right now. But, you know, for many years on the Doghouse, especially the early years, there was this big I'm not going to say argument, but debate about, you know, who was the GOAT in MotoGP. And you had the people that are in the Rossi camp, right? And at that time, Marquez was very early in his career, looked like he was, you know, the next coming.
Talk GOAT conversations without Agostini.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, right? So right? He was Agostini.
And to be honest with you,
yeah,
I do this, and some people get a little mad at me, but I also throw Rainey in there. He was a three-time champ on the way to being a four-time champ on an inferior bike.
Yeah, but does that, again,
he'd been healthy, would there have been two or three more? Probably.
Yeah, well, I don't want to add another piece into the debate.
Right, I'm just saying.
But I just
the conversation.
Oh, I just for the longest time, there was this conversation about Rossi versus Marquez, and we said, well, Marquez is too early in his career; you can't judge now and everything. Well, now Marquez is tied for MotoGP championships with Rossi, right, and so it's kind of like, all right, well, we sort of bridged that, but we haven't solved it yet. But what about Agostini, right? Where is that comparison? Because ultimately, Marquez, if he stays healthy and if his career lasts long enough, he's going to challenge some of Agostini's marks. He already has tied or broken a number of them. But so GP1 decided what they were going to do is they were going to take that comparison. I think this is brilliant. The concept is brilliant. And I'm really pissed that I didn't think about it because I could have done this on my own. Okay, that's the beauty of AI. I could have done this. They said, we're going to let AI decide who was the greatest racer of all time. Was it Agostini or Marquez? It's just a brilliant concept. It's like, I've never heard anybody say that. It's like, why didn't I think of that? Why did you not think of that, Phil? Okay, because I already beat myself up enough about it. So they decided that they were going to do that. And so what they had to do is they had to make it fair. They raced in different eras and everything. You can't compare that. So you have to find a way to equalize it so you're comparing apples to apples. And the way they did it was sort of brilliant, the way they went about it. So they created a bunch of basic assumptions that they gave to ChatGPT. They put them both on the same bike, on the same team. They used a modern calendar of 20 to 22 GP races. On the same tires with the same electronics and format, and both of them at the peak of their career. It's just, they did a brilliant job. I mean, GP1, I got to say, hats off to you. Okay. They created a situation for ChatGPT to try and compare the incomparable because they didn't race under these conditions. But it's just beautiful the way that they did this. And so then they looked at each of the different phases of racing, right? Qualifying, dry or wet, and all these different things, and had ChatGPT actually score how they did in each category and come up with a cumulative score for both of them. So the first thing they did was they looked at qualifying. And qualifying, they said that Marquez would take the advantage. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean he got the pole, but they're looking
but
at like
he finished ahead of Agostini.
Exactly. Okay. And they said Marquez would get 12 to 14, okay, on that score, okay?
And
Agostini would get 4 to 6.
Now, and is this racing heads up or is this racing?
It's heads up. Yeah, it's absolutely heads up. Okay. Because that's why they created all those conditions, all right?
Well, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like I took him off the bike and put the other guy in.
No.
You know what I mean?
One of the things about ChatGPT is if you ask the question properly, it will give you how it came about, that decision. Okay.
All right.
And so I'm going to go through those as well because they're brilliant. And ChatGPT said that Marquez would be on the front row more often because he has a unique ability to extract the most out of flying laps. He takes more risks than Agostini. He's a more calculating rider. And so that's how he came up with the score, that he would get 12 to 14 versus Agostini's 4 to 6. So that's qualifying. And then races in the dry. And the races in the dry, and the ChatGPT said Marquez's pure speed, his aggressive attacks, and his ability in chaos management, where Agostini's advantages are steady pace, very few mistakes. He's great at reading the race.
He was like a technician.
Yes. So they said on a dry track, Marquez would win more races. Okay. But Agostini would bring home many second and third places, right? And we always talk about that, right? We always talk about that in the doghouse. For as long as we've been on, we've always said consistency.
Eli Tomac, how bad it is when number two, when the guy finishing second is Dungy, who it only drops 5 points and then wins a few and you crash and the party's over.
But the races in the dry are the races in the dry that those second and thirds aren't wins in the races in, that are in the dry, but they are something that will come along later on when you start getting in championship points, right?
Right.
And so they assume, ChatGPT said that it calculated that Marquez would win between 9 and 11 races in the dry. Agostini would win between 6 and 8. Okay. So, okay, that's Marquez. Kind of fair. Marquez gets that tilt. Okay. Races in the wet or mixed conditions.
Okay.
And ChatGPT said because Agostini grew up in an era when wet weather was more than normal. I don't quite get that. It rained more, maybe where the tracks were. And survival was more important, or at least as important as speed was. And even though Marquez is strong in the wet, he tends to push more. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's meaning that likelihood of crashes, right? And so it estimated that Agostini would win between 3 to 4 races in the wet or mixed conditions, and Marquez would win 1 to 2. All right. Then it went into reliability and crashes. Marquez definitely crashes, right? But it said that Agostini crashes very little. Marquez crashes more often, especially when he's forced to chase people. In a long season, it's important. And it's DNFs estimated that Mark would have 3 to 5, where Agostini would have 0 to 1. So that's Agostini,
a lot of points.
Yeah. So Agostini gets the advantage there. Consistency in points. Agostini is the rider who doesn't throw away difficult Sundays.
Right.
You know, even when he can't win, he maximizes the result. Marquez is a psychological pressure type rider. He dominates in the direct confrontations and hand-to-hand battles, while Agostini is unflappable over the distance of a championship.
Right.
Mark tends to raise his risk when he is down in the standings, and Agostini does not. So that's advantage Agostini.
Right.
And they just gave an advantage on that one. They didn't give points for that particular one. And then final standings based on the simulation that ChatGPT ran. Out of 22 GPs, Agostini would win between 390 and 405 points. Marquette, first of all, no one else is scoring points. Okay, I understand in this situation, right?
Right.
Marquez would win between 370 and 395. So the world champion would be Agostini by a few points. Close. Yeah, but close.
I mean, that's kind of
the final
an interesting comparison.
It is a very interesting comparison. And the reasoning behind it is brilliant. And it's like so far beyond me, I have to be honest. Okay. It's beautiful the way that ChatGPT came up with what it thought were the critical details and how it scored them. And so it said this was the final verdict of ChatGPT. Marquez would be the fastest and the most spectacular rider, but Agostini would win the world championship through consistency, intelligence, and zero waste. In a dry race, Marquez dominated, but in a full season, Agostini wins. Just fantastic. I mean, I love this article. I was somewhere between being really aggravated that I didn't think to do something like this on the show. This would have been great if we'd run some simulations on the show, even during the season. Yeah. It would have been great.
Yeah. So I can't really argue with anything they said.
No.
I mean, it's always hard to say, take this guy, take that guy.
Yes.
Right. Training's different. Technology's different. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But based on history, I could see that. I mean, Marquez does, when he throws it away, he throws it away.
Yeah, when he throws it away. Yeah,
and there's Agostini, I wasn't alive when he was racing.
You were alive when he was racing.
I thought he raced in like the 60s.
No, he raced in the 80s. Yeah, into the 80s. I don't know how far into the 80s
he raced. Maybe he was in his 60s. I don't know. Felt like
it. Yeah, maybe in his 60s.
He really raced into the, I thought he started in the 60s.
He probably did start in the late 60s, early 70s. So
yeah, see, I was a baby.
That's yeah.
I mean, I only turned 29 this year, Ken.
Yeah, I know, 29 plus. So I just thought that was great. And I think GP1 did an excellent job of setting what the parameters were to make it a fair matchup. And ChatGPT went with it. It was able to look at that and assume things that it didn't have facts to go, you know, to match with, right? It didn't know about Agostini racing on a bike similar to Marquez's racing on. It didn't know, you know, there was no history of Agostini with the same team or both riders having the exact same team. Right, Bagnaia would like to. Bagnaia should have used ChatGPT and said, "Well, you're on the same team, but you suck." Anyway,
but that was on the same bike, right? That's Bagnaia's problem.
Well,
but anyways,
anyway,
but well, you know, like okay, after the show, we're going to talk about something because this kind of gives me an idea that I think would be interesting to do. But I think. I mean, it makes sense. Obviously it's speculation, right?
It is speculation to a certain extent, right? But it is based on facts and it looks at the rider's strengths. It didn't speculate those, right?
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, you know, I mean, Agostini, oh yeah, he's only going to wreck this time. The thing I don't know because I didn't watch the races live is did he have somebody pressuring him?
Well, when
he ran. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm sure he did.
I
think he ran against Wayne Gardner and some other really good racers.
I don't know. I honestly don't.
Yeah, it's all data, but I mean, I think things like he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, Marquez, one of the things you always say about Marquez is he pushes. The guy's right on the edge all the time. And being there means you're going to make more mistakes, right? Because at some point you're going to misjudge, you know, how far you can push the tires and you're going to lose it. That's what happens, right? Agostini apparently was a racer who didn't do that. He wasn't a guy that hugged the edge. He raced consistently. He hit all his markers on the track, and that's what he was, right? He was kind of like the mechanic on the track, right? He did everything, you know, by the book, consistency, and he beat them with his consistency, and nobody could challenge it because he didn't make mistakes, and they did. So I think ChatGPT did summarize a lot of the facts that were kind of known about Agostini, right, that he was like the ultimate consistent rider when he rode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can't argue that. I really can't. I
couldn't argue with it either. And that's why I thought it was brilliant. And it definitely says, hey, there's something that AI can actually add to race analysis that.
So us I don't mind that use of AI. Right?
I don't either.
I don't mind the use of some of the other stuff. You know, what I don't like is like people like using it for shortcuts. That's processing a lot of data that would have took.
Is that like getting girlfriends? You're not with AI for getting girlfriends?
Shortcuts like, okay.
Phil's almost speechless.
If you ask ChatGPT if, you know, marijuana is good for you, it's going to tell you, yeah. Or it's not any worse than something. I'm not a doctor. But I will tell you this, that it's influenced heavily by whoever programmed it for its parameters.
Yeah. There is some truth to that. And then also with AI.
I mean, if Giorgio Tsoukalos had his own AI, everything problem would be alien.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's not, you know, analyzing data, it's great. Yeah. Is it creating something new? Is it intelligence?
It's not that it's creating something new. It's that it's able to use everything that exists better than humans can, right? We take years to analyze that volume of data.
It's allowed, right? That exists.
Well, that's true. That's true. You control what feed. You control as part of the training process AI what it has for data.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, anyway. You can bias it. There's no question. You can bias it.
So that's where my head's at.
Yeah.
And I don't like people who like, I'm going to do that instead of go to the actual website and look it up. Take 5 minutes of your life. All right. Yeah. We'll be back next week. We'll talk other stuff. I don't know what